Hi, Marcus. Welcome to the PR Rock Show. Hope you're keeping well.
I'm keeping great. Wheeling and dealing, moving and grooving. You know how it is. You got to rock it out every day.
Yeah. You've only been able to do that since they've allowed everyone to go out and gig again.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. It's ridiculous. Yeah, we're able to work again. That's nice.
Yeah, does help, doesn't it?
It helps a lot.
We're talking today about Black Pearl and how the Black Pearl band came into being. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got so many things going on. You've got your Marcus Malone band. You've got the Malone Cybone project as well, band, which is great.
Yeah. I got a new one, too. I got a new one. Marcus Malone and the Motor City Hustlers. horn band on Ramrock Records.
Yeah, quite how you found the time for Black Pearl amazes me. So what attracted you to Black Pearl? How did you get involved?
Well, I got involved mostly through Pete. He came over to my house one night with a gun and said, "Hey, dude, sing." And I said, okay, Pete. But actually, no, Pete called me up with, he had been doing some songs with Muddy Menonin, and you know him from Wishbone Ash.
Ash, yes, sir.
And they had, Pete has, well, as you know, he writes a lot of lyrics constantly. Every day he comes up with a new song, just about, I think. Too much time passes before he comes up with another set of lyrics. Him and Muddy got together, and it clicked with them. And Muddy's not that great of a singer, so he says, so Pete suggested I joined in as a singer, as a vocalist, and I ended up doing a lot of arranging and all the vocals. Actually, there were no other vocalists on the album, all the BVs, I did everything. And I did a lot of arranging because Muddy likes to go on and on a bit. Otherwise, we would have had an album with all 10-minute songs. So,
you'd have had to make it a double album.
Yeah, there was a lot of chopping. It should have been a double album anyway. There's a lot of songs. We only did 11 songs in the end. And there's at least, during lockdown, we recorded about close to 30 songs, I think. So,
wow.
Album two is close behind.
It must be. Know? Yeah, that's a lot of songs. I mean, did the lockdown actually help put the project together? Was it something that happened because of lockdown?
I would say, yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a lot of things happened because of lockdown. I don't like really sitting around and pining my eyes out, as it were. I've got no work. What am I going to do? So that's not me. So I got involved in several other projects, and this one with Pete was great. I got involved with two or three writing projects with other people. I love Pete's lyrics. I've attempted to do something with them on my own, but that didn't quite click. But this, musically, I mean, with just me and him, but with Muddy involved, those two together, that was great, because Muddy has he's like Pete, but guitar player. They kept sending me songs like every day, every other day, you know. I'm like, whoa, slow down. I got other stuff to do, you know.
No chance of you not being busy when they're doing that.
No, they carried on with that. Fortunately, the other two projects I was working on, I kind of been winding down on those, and this came in. So I was able to keep up for a couple of months anyway. I love the lyrics. They're all these.
Some of the best lyrics I think Pete's ever written. I love the album. The lyrics really hit me straight away. And, you know, once I started playing it, I thought, wow, this is something else.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, it is very much so, especially from what you're doing with Malone Cybone and the Marcus Malone band. So it was different, very much so. I mean, now you've done the album and it's getting some airplay, thankfully. Are there any plans to tour the album, possibly?
And so I'm very much hoping so. That's, as you know, I need to work. So that's all I do for a living anyway. I think Muddy's looking. He's got a drummer now. We've got a drummer down near where he is. There's the whole thing of distance once again. As you know, I have the same problem with Ennis, of course. Mm-hmm. He lives in Bath. I live in London. Muddy lives in, what is it called? Cotswold. Yeah. So he lives down down that way. And once again, wow. I live together, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank God for Zoom and Skype.
Yeah, Zoom, Skype, and yeah, and you can send tapes back and forth. If this were the old days, I mean, the album never would have been done.
I was going to say, did you ever get together for the album, or was it all done separately during lockdown?
It's all separate. Recorded three albums. All of them were done. Everybody I know seems, as you know, these days, everybody has a computer. Everybody has their gear at home. And it depends. Some people have better gear than others. But yeah, everybody has a studio of their own. Drums were recorded at the drummer's place. Then you got Muddy did his own tracks. I did all, he sends it to me. I do all the vocals. I think the only thing that was done in a studio was the mixing,
really,
which Muddy did it with a mate of his down in that way. They did the mixing.
Do you think doing it separately in the way you've just described, did that help the creative process, or did it make it more difficult?
Well, did it help? I wouldn't say it. No, I don't know about helping the creative process. Mm. I mean, it was just there. It was just, it was a natural thing between the three of us, I would say. Mm. Because in order for it to help, then we would have had to get together physically, and then you bounce off of each other's ideas as far as drummers. You would have other musicians. Normally when I would write something, take it to a rehearsal, and bounce ideas off of people. Mm. And you know, Chris, who's been playing with me for years, a drummer, he's always got something to say. You know, you start bouncing things, oh, why don't we have this here, there, but that wasn't it. So eventually we were dependent on each other's creativity, individual, like, you know, my arranging abilities and producing abilities, Muddy's arranging, producing abilities. In a way, that brought that out. I became better at those skills.
Mm. So there's a lot of sending songs back and forth between
each other. Yeah, basically,
until
instead
you're
of
all happy with the finish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you can tour it, that would be great.
It would be excellent.
Lockdown obviously inspired the project. Blackpool, you've got enough songs to do a second album. You're going to try and tour the first album first before you release the second album?
That depends on how it goes, how soon we can put the band together. We're working on putting a band together, but as you know, it takes time, and the main ingredient, of course, is money.
Well,
and
as always,
we need someone out there who would be interested in you know, putting dates together. Kind of looking at Pete, maybe he knows someone to put some dates together consecutively, because due to the economy now, you can't really afford to just drive up to Edinburgh, do a gig, and come home, you know, or
no,
wherever, six dates in a row in order to keep a band's interest. You know, there's me and Muddy, of course, but then you have to have a drummer and a bass player, and for this particular music, I think we definitely need a keyboard player. I think it's very important. We do have a percussionist who's willing to do it, but everybody has to make a living. A tour manager, or not manager, someone who will basically book the band. They like the album enough to say, hey, we're going to book you guys.
So organizing the tour.
Yeah.
Organize in an economical way is going to be vital.
Yeah, and an act art, obviously, if that doesn't happen until it's time for the second album, then the second album may preempt the tour. I don't know. But I'm hoping to tour the first album.
I'm amazed you could actually fit the Black Pearl project in with everything else you're doing.
Yeah, it was difficult.
I guess it was because the gigs all disappeared that you found you had the time to do it as well.
Yeah, there were no gigs. Yeah, none whatsoever. We had a couple of spaces, remember, when they let up. But then you had to go to a gig, and it was, spacing. Everybody had to sit 10 yards apart, and that was weird. So you couldn't really get enough people in the venue to make it worthwhile for the venue to do those. And once again, like I said, economically, those weren't really viable. Even in large venues, they were doing that. So where they would normally have whatever 500 people, so they would have like 200. I mean, it's like, it's a bit nuts.
Yeah. And so, how can anybody make a living on those sort of numbers?
Right. So anyway, it's back now. I'm happy. Yeah. Knock on wood.
The problem a lot of bands have got that I've been speaking to now is there's a backlog of everybody trying to get gigs. So getting venues, because everybody's trying to get them now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help things.
Yeah.
What did you like about the Black Pearl project yourself? What was it, because the music was so different from what you were doing?
I'm a guy who likes challenges. I go back and forth in between things, like, you know, as you know, I'm from Detroit, so and you got everything there from soul music to punk. I started off in Motown and stuff, and I ended up, you know, supporting Iggy. and hanging out at the MC5 house. So I thought the Black Pearl stuff was number one, I it was very different for me, but I loved the and I well, like I said, I love Pete's lyrics. I thought they were great, and I like the style, and I like Muddy's playing, obviously, and I like the songs. I just thought, oh, wow,
this, it's just
you
a
know,
great
yeah, I don't want to wait 5 minutes before I start singing. So once we agreed on that, the arranging had to be worked on. Yeah, I thought it was great, and I love the lyrics. Muddy's a great guitarist, and his sound is amazing. I think we got some a friend of mine, Moats Gamble, played keyboards on it. He's amazing. Just a great bunch of guys in the end, even though they were one by one by one.
Yeah. And but you surprised me. We've just had different your vocal stylings on this album were compared to some of your other work.
Well, yeah, it surprised me too. at first, I wasn't sure if I liked it or not. I was like, "Do I have to sing it like this?" So, yeah. And then I took it as a learning curve, really, because it was I wanted to go in and and give it some of that. And
yeah,
said,
which is
And I said, "Oh well, you know, this is melodic. It's very melodic, and I think." It's very important to keep the melodies. And that's what I went in it with. I went in with Muddy had specific melodies to sing to. I altered them a bit, but not much, really. I tried to stick to those melodies, and I would put higher harmonies over them to bring out more of the high end of my voice. And I grew to like it. So, I enjoyed singing melodies that were distinct. And you know, you listen to it and you can go back and sing that song.
Yeah. And now you've done that. Do you want to do more?
I sure do. Yeah. It influenced me quite a bit. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, even on some of my stuff, I'm going to try and get, you know, lock in on a melody and not make it so difficult for somebody else to sing if they want to copy it. So most of my stuff is, well, not really, but a lot of it would be difficult for someone to copy because it's... Yeah.
Well, what are you going to be doing next, Marcus? I know Innes has hurt his, he's had an accident where he's hurt his...
seem to be the bad luck boys, I got to say.
Yeah. So
there's a pandemic and there's this.
He can't do that, so does that mean you're going to go out more as the Marcus Malone band for the moment?
I was supposed to go to the Netherlands with him next week. That can't be done. And then we had a gig in Germany. I asked the people in Germany if they would mind if perhaps Muddy did the gig instead, but I don't know if that's going to happen. And we have a gig, and it says he's going to be ready by the 27th, which is when we do the Boom Boom Club for Pete. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he'll be ready or not. I don't know. Other things that I'm doing is, like I said, I've got, I just signed a record contract with Ramrock Records. It's a small label, independent label, but they've got a lot of clout as far as getting airplay on BBC stations.
Right.
I haven't met Craig Charles yet, but he's highly interested in the project I'm doing. With a guitarist named Dan Smith, who did you ever hear of a band called the Noisettes?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
And Dan Smith is with the Noisettes, but that album was written during lockdown, as was Black Pearl, and we want to tour that as well. So the deal was signed just last week, and I've got a deal with a publishing company that will be hopefully handling the publishing, Westbury Publishing. And we want to go out. We want to tour as well. So one way or another, but the record will definitely get me airplay on BBC Six, especially.
I was getting a lift back, and here I am.
We reversed roles today, you know? It's usually me that's coming in on the back end. Hey, guys, I'm here.
Well, Marcus has probably told you all about the album anyway, but...
Yes, he does about how it all happened. What we were saying, and I've got a question for you, Pete, in regarding the lyrics. We were all, both Marcus and myself, saying what great lyrics there are on this Black Pearl album. And I was wondering just how easy you find it to write song lyrics like that. I mean, I think there's some of the best lyrics you've written that I've heard you write on this Black Pearl
album. Well, that's very kind of you.
How easy was that?
But a whole lot easier when you've got two great musicians like that coming at you from two different sides. So you've got Muddy coming up with these arrangements and musical ideas, and then you've got Marcus also with arrangements and just a fantastic voice. And then I basically had these ideas. Some of them came about literally by working with the two of them. A couple of them I had in my mind from quite a, you know, way before. But it was all made easy by the two of them, simple as that. But also, I should mention the fact that you've probably already mentioned this, the fact that it was all done during lockdown. Mm. When I look back now, it did give you, you know, more time to reflect and actually literally physically get involved in what you're doing rather than the normal rush of daily life. So I think that's got a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, without lockdown, I know Marcus and I spoke about this a little earlier, would the project have happened without lockdown, or do you think lockdown...
Maybe not, because I don't know if you already mentioned this, but the funny thing was this whole project started because I was reviewing Muddy Manning's solo album that he did with Simon Kirk from Free and all sorts of other guests, and it's a great, great record. You should check it out. I think it's called River Flows, but it's a, something like that. I can't... Sorry, Muddy.
Yeah, that's right. River Flows.
Yeah, and I was saying to him what a great record that was, and I'd already reviewed it, and he said, yeah, but you know, I struggle with lyrics. And then we got talking, and I thought, well, let's have a go. You know, I'm not doing anything at the moment. I don't think he was. So, and that became the basis of once we got Marcus on. But well, let me explain the chronology of it. Then we got the idea for four songs before we even thought about an EP. And then Muddy says, yeah, but my voice isn't really strong enough for this kind of material. What we need is a great singer. And then I called Marcus and he was up for it, and we never looked back. In fact, as Marcus probably already told you, we just had this incredible turnover of material in no time at all. And we had two albums worth, more or less.
It's incredible that you managed to put 30 songs together in that sort of time frame.
Well, it was just happening. It was like... I guess this is the creative process right there in front of your eyes. You know, some people paint and some people do something else. You know, I just write lyrics, and Marcus and Muddy make great music, and in Marcus's case, sing great music as well. And I just think it was bouncing off each other and off we went. We never stopped. Whereas normally you might have done a few bits and pieces, then Marcus would have gone off and done a few gigs, Muddy would have gone off and done a few gigs, and we might have come back together sometime later and that creative process might have stopped. You know, you might not have the same vibe. And I think that's a really important...
No, that's true, like, yeah.
It's a bit like when, you know, as a guitar player, I'm not a guitar player at all, but I imagine, and Marcus when he's singing, but when you've been on the road for, you know, you don't even think about it. But when you look back on what you did, you know, either the amount of gigs or the actual albums that you made and stuff like, you think, wow, you know. And I feel that about these songs. I looked at it the other day when the actual CD came out and I thought, wow, I wonder if we could ever write like that again.
Well, that's going to be the challenge, isn't it? Once you've done the second album with the amount of songs you've got, can you come up with something as good with the next album, the third album?
Well, I'd like to think the second album is as good as the first album, because we had a whole problem figuring out what to put on there and what not to put on there. You know, that was a real problem. But yeah, it's a matter of the time and place. I think that's really that's what we're talking about, you know. And look at the old-fashioned way of recording when people used to come together in a studio. Now you don't need to do that now, as we've obviously done on this record. You can be in four parts of the world, three parts of the world, and you can still bring it all together. But you miss something sometimes, you know, that there's the arrangements, you know, which comes spontaneously sometimes. Somebody put a guitar part in there or whatever it is, or play behind the beat, and then everybody goes, oh, yeah, let's slow the thing down. But that's, you know, the element of spontaneity. You can't beat that. But having said that, in the case of Marcus and Muddy, they both brought percussionists, you know, great percussionists on this album, which kind of glued a couple of those tracks together like you wouldn't have ever thought about.
Hopefully, and I asked Marcus if it might be possible earlier, you might just get a chance to go out there and gig the album live, hopefully at some point.
Well, that's what we're all hoping. Where's he going?
Yeah, I've already answered it. That's definitely what we're hoping to do. Yeah.
Quite a lot of the reviews have made mention of that. You know, they all seem to hope it's going to be more than just a studio project, you know. But I think the songs will carry it into a live situation. It's just actually getting everybody together in the same place and all the rest of it.
And making it economically viable.
Yeah, and finding gigs, which, yeah. at the moment, obviously everybody's scrambling for shows because we're about a year behind.
Yeah.
And everybody's tour schedules. You know?
Yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? Trying to find
which applies to everybody,
free dates.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I certainly appreciate your time today. Thank you very much, Pete, for managing to get back and contributing to this great interview about Blackpool. There's a new website on Blackpool.
www.blackpearlmusic22 for the year. .com.
And there's also a great video.
Listeners want to check out Blackpool, that's the place to see it.
Well, thank you very much.